The Heat faced the Pelicans for the second time in 4 days, hosting them on a Sunday afternoon where Miami spent the first half still shaking off the effects of their bottomless mimosas. But the Heat eventually came back, tightening their defense and behind some big-time shooting from Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, and Kyle Mr. Big Shot Lowry. The Heat came back for yet another gritty, sloppy, and much-needed win. We break down the game, who stepped up, and answer listener questions on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your Monday to Friday podcast on the Miami Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Recording this at Miami-Dade Arena after the Heat's 100-96 win over the New Orleans Pelicans. David, you and I were talking about this before the game. We mentioned, hey, these early starts, there's a 3:30 start. They're always weird. Like, these 3:30 weekend starts are always resulting in a strange game, and boy were we right. This was a weird, sloppy game. Both teams turned the ball over more than 20 times each. Neither team could make a three-pointer basically all night. Here's a stat that I think sums up things pretty well just in terms of the overall sloppiness. Both teams combined for 48 points via three-pointers. They combined for 59 points off of turnovers. So that, to me, says everything that you need to know. Both teams just coughed the ball up, and their entire offense was basically just scoring off of those turnovers. Neither team can make a three, which is a symptom of just sloppy offense, not great ball movement, not great passing, not great shot making, obviously. But for the Heat, 26 points from Tyler Hero, a big third quarter from Jimmy Butler, a big fourth quarter from Kyle Lowry. All that was enough for the Heat to get a win. They go up a half game on the Knicks for the sixth seed now in the Eastern Conference. A win's a win, David.
A win's a win. That's all you can take. We knew going into this game that the Pelicans were going to challenge Bam Adebayo. In the pregame press conference, head coach Willie Green said, we're going to try and force those passes, challenge any kind of outlet pass or any kind of entry pass into Bam Adebayo because he torched them so much just 4 days ago. They knew they were going to shut that down. They did a great job of that. I thought they really took Bam out of the game early on. And so Miami had to find another way of scoring. I said to myself as I was watching this game, it needs something much more ISO heavy, a player who can dominate in that regard. And I thought to myself, the most natural choice was Tyler Hero. And eventually he wound up picking up his scoring. Jimmy Butler had some buckets as well in the third quarter. But they had to change the way that they approached the game. We know that lately they've been showing a lot more about just throwing the ball into Bam, letting him go to work, having him run the offense. Today, that type of offense did not work. It wasn't about that. They couldn't even execute the Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo pick and roll, not as effectively as they have in past games. They had to do something completely different. This was about finding points wherever you could get them, and that's why you got a bucket getter like Tyler Hero who can take over a game like this.
The Pelicans have done a great job all year long clogging the paint. That's their bread and butter on defense, mucking things up. Eric Spoelstra after the game called coaching this game taxing. And he just kind of laughed it off, but then also was sort of like scratching his forehead while talking about it. And it's just one of those wins where you're just like, all right, I'm glad we got it. Let's just move on. We don't have to really ever talk about it again. And I am actually kind of thinking like between this one and the Dallas one Friday night, just two weird games. So, you know, I just think over the course of a regular season, you're just going to get weird stuff. You're going to get weird games. You're going to get games that maybe you were supposed to win that you don't. Games where you don't show up in the instance of Friday night for Miami. But like that stuff just happens. And it kind of, to me, all sort of amounts to a weird weekend of games in which Miami went 1-1. And I think overall, you can't really complain about that. Yeah, the Heat have basically been a 500 team all year. You go 500 in weird games over the weekend, whatever. But for this one in particular, the point you made, I think, was a really good one about how the Pelicans were going to clog the paint. They're going to get in those passing lanes. They're going to force those turnovers. And ultimately, I thought it was Jimmy Butler scoring those 11 points in the third quarter in isolation, just sort of muscling his way the way that Jimmy Butler does. And then in the fourth quarter, Kyle Lowry, 9 straight points. It's actually even 11 if you count the entry pass that he made to Bam. And he basically created those points for Bam. 9 to 11 straight points for Kyle Lowry, however you want to define it, in the fourth quarter was enormous. It gave the Heat the lead, and it was a lead that they didn't give up for the rest of the game over those final 2 minutes.
Crucial performances from individual players stepping up at just the right moment. That's kind of the defining moment, I think, for this one. However, to your point, look, I know that some games are just going to be weird, but we've also seen this from this Heat team all year long. This is just the way they do things. They slow things down. I don't know, what was this, like their 40th clutch game of the season?
Yeah, something like that.
It just feels like every game was always slowed down. While they were playing so much significantly better in the second half, they wouldn't have had to if they didn't get into that early first half deficit. They were down by 16 at one point. I thought it was going to be a blowout, to be honest with you. I didn't know how Miami was going to be able to find a way back. And maybe that's the positive silver lining out of this, is that no matter how far down they are, just like they were against the Atlanta Hawks on Martin Luther King Day, they find a way to come back, close the gap, and make it more challenging. And you have to give credit to Miami. They did a really good job. You also have to give credit to the New Orleans Pelicans, fighting without Zion Williams, no Brandon Ingram out there, and they were still able to do a pretty solid job getting some big contributions from a number of role players alongside C.J. McCollum.
Pelicans led by as many as 16 points in the game. So to your point, like Miami being able to come back from that, it was 32-23 after the first quarter. The Heat won every quarter after that. They outscored the Pelicans 18-15. And that was a brutal second quarter.
Brutal. Without a three-point shot. That's the thing, too, is that they shot so poorly from behind the arc.
8-34 overall.
Yeah, you know that's necessary. If you're going to mount a comeback, if you're going to try to find some kind of steady stability on offense, the three-point shot is certainly such a big part of it. That was not the case today. They had to be able to attack the paint, get to the free throw line. They wound up taking, I think, 10 more free throws than the Pelicans themselves. A lot of that just by out-muscling, as you said, Jimmy Butler getting to work, doing what he has to do. But Bam Adebayo, Tyler, others stepping up as well.
Yeah, 8 of 34 from three-point range. They turned the Pelicans over 25 times. They scored 31 points off those. It was
not beautiful basketball.
It was not beautiful basketball. The end of the second quarter was really where it took off for Miami. They had that 10-0 run. That was basically just Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, and Jimmy Butler getting steals, jumping those passing lanes, creating easy points on the other end. So that 10-0 run at the end of the second quarter going into halftime. And then from there, Miami basically just, to say took over the game is generous because nobody really took over this game other than turnovers. But they trailed again, but they didn't lose another quarter. Like I said, 18-15 in the second quarter. They won the third quarter, 28-25. They won the fourth quarter, 31-24.
16 steals of the night. That's a statistic I didn't even realize.
Jimmy Butler had 5. Kyle Lowry had 4. Victor Oladipo had 3. Bam Adebayo had 2. Caleb Martin had 1. And Gabe Vincent had 1. So, look, this has sort of been kind of zooming out a little bit here, but this has been kind of big picture for Miami is defensively, what they're going to do is they're going to try to turn you over. They're obviously going to get stops with the switches. A lot less zone over the last two games. And I think that's maybe a symptom of just having your guys healthy, but also just wanting to switch everything so that you can jump those passing lanes. Where in the zone defense, you're basically just keeping the ball in front of you. Right. When you're switching, you're kind of you're mixed up in the passing lanes. Your body's moving around a lot more. Your arms are trying to grab the ball and stuff like that. The quick hands are at work for the Heat like they are, but that's sort of been now zooming out kind of Miami's defensive formula as of late is let's switch more often. They were more than willing to have Bam Adebayo switch out to C.J. McCollum on the perimeter, so they literally were switching everything again, not the kind of this mix of drop and all that kind of and zone. It was just switch everything 1 through 5 and jump those passing lanes, and that's why you got the 16 steals, I think.
That is their new defensive identity. Especially now with Victor Oladipo providing such a boost off the bench. The problem is, however, offensively, they still don't seem like they have much of an identity.
But that's why those steals are so important, right?
That's right. Igniting your offense off your defense.
It's self-aware, right? It's almost like in the NFL, like, okay, if your offense isn't going to generate a lot of points, just blitz everybody, you know, cover zero, man coverage, try to force interceptions and stuff like that. And here it's just like, okay, our offense is not going to be great in the half court. I think I tweeted this out definitely in the first half, probably for the entire game. Both the Pelicans and the Heat were in the 0 percentile of half court offense. They could not score. It was like 59 points per 100 possessions in the half court. That's terrible. Yeah. That's like the worst offense of all time. Like, I don't know that it doesn't get worse than that for both teams.
This is like before the shot clock was invented, where you could just hold the ball for 10 minutes at a time.
Exactly. It was For Miami, there's an awareness, there's a self-awareness like, hey, look, we're just not a good half-court offensive team. We're not going to be until this three-point shot comes along. It's one of those questions we have later if it comes along. So that self-awareness is important. It's, okay, we got to, at all costs, create turnovers and get points in transition. Credit Cookies is coming up next. We know we got to give something to Kyle Lowry.
Absolutely.
We have a lot to talk about. Huge fourth quarter from Kyle. He read your tweets, people. We're going to get to that next. But first, David, tell listeners about our sponsor.
Today's episode from Miami-Dade Arena brought to you by Prize Picks. If you like daily fantasy, then you've got to love Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so easy to use. Believe me, you'll love it. It's just you versus the numbers. You're not betting against anybody else. You're not making entries on anybody else. It's just you versus the projected numbers. That's what makes it so easy. You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus those projections. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, college basketball, the WNBA, cricket, disc golf, you name it. Prize Picks has you covered. Safe and fast withdrawals. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com today to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks gives you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100 at prizepicks.com or by downloading the Prize Picks app today.
Thanks again for making Lockdown Heat your first listen. Well, it's a Heat win, which means it's time to get in the kitchen, whip up some credit cookies. David, what kind of cookies do we have today?
You know, another New Orleans win. We can go for the pralines again. Pralines.
Can we go for king cake? I've never had it, but I want it.
That's not a cookie.
It's more of a pastry, isn't it?
That's fine. Beignets.
Beignets are great. Beignets more of like donut. Okay. But let's go with beignets. 10 beignets. All right. So we actually put out a listener poll here on Twitter. Let's pull it up and see where everybody thinks that the credit cookies should go. So we've got 10 beignets that we want to give out. According to the poll, 41.5% of you believe that Kyle Lowry should get the most credit cookies over Tyler Hero, Victor Oladipo, Jimmy Butler. I have a feeling we're going to give some beignets to all four of them. But Kyle Lowry, maybe for the first time all season, getting sort of the consensus of Miami Heat fans for credit cookies for this win. He deserves it. Look, we already mentioned the 9 straight points in crunch time in that fourth quarter. 11 if you want to count the assist to Bam Adebayo. He was enormous. 6 of 9 overall. 3 for 6 from three-point range for 17 points. A couple of assists. 4 steals in the game. He owned the Pelicans' passing lanes, where Victor Oladipo, we know how he gets his steals. He just goes up to you and grabs the ball. That's about Victor Oladipo. Jimmy Butler is sort of in between. He's going to jump your passing lanes and stuff like that. But Kyle Lowry is so anticipatory with how he's like, oh, you're going to throw it here. Let me get here. You're not going to see me because I'm so small and stocky that you're not even going to pay any attention. And next thing you know, I'm zooming in for the steal. And that's what he did 4 different times. He was awesome on both ends of the court. You love to see it. And then Eric Spoelstra after the game crediting Kyle Lowry in that fourth quarter for Miami's win. And then I want to read this quote here. Says when we sort of asked about trying to find ways to get Kyle Lowry more involved the way that he was tonight, and Spo went so far as to say basically, look, the passing wasn't working. New Orleans was stealing all of our passes. We were stealing all of their passes. We needed somebody to sort of initiate offense by themselves without relying on moving the ball too much. And Kyle Lowry in that fourth quarter, that's what he did. He's just like, all right, let me pull up into this floater. Let me get this three-pointer. Let me get to the line, all these things. Here's Spo's quote on Kyle Lowry. Trying to find a balance where everybody can be aggressive and assertive, and we don't want him to get lost in the sauce. That was sort of a big picture view on Kyle Lowry, but tonight, David, he was the sauce.
Good point. Look, I love the evolution from our Heat fan base that they're willing to acknowledge Kyle Lowry as a major factor, if not the biggest factor, contributing to today's win. Maybe it's just we're in the wrong Twitter groups, but we've seen a lot of let's say hatred, vitriol, displeasure with Kyle Lowry's performance this season. And I think a lot of that has been overstated, but tonight he was great. In the first quarter, he was really good. Started off with 5 points, kind of helping Miami keep the pace. He also pulled away 2 steals in that first quarter and then found a way to contribute steadily throughout the game. And also in the fourth quarter, as you mentioned, this idea of him getting lost in the sauce, I wonder how much of that is by design or how much of that is by Kyle just being the point guard that he is, distributing the ball to everybody else. What stood out about that 9-point run that he had was his willingness to take a shot that we haven't seen. Look, I tweeted something out early in the game. There was a wide open shot clock. He had the ball in his hands, had a wide open three-pointer, dished it off to Victor Oladipo, who wound up taking a three and missing the backboard, the rim, and everything completely. That is unimaginable to me because we've seen Kyle Lowry be able to hit those shots regularly, but I think that's just him saying, you know what? I'm a point guard. I dish the ball to people. I try to get everybody going. He's the one who takes over or makes the decision process as far as distributing the ball to people so that they can get active in the offense. But today, something that we haven't seen from him, I think, all season, an aggression that we haven't seen, willing to take over and take those shots.
It took, like, the absolute necessary, like, just it took this to get this out of Kyle Lowry. And so the fact that it was either he was creating offense or there was no offense, good right? Point. It's what – he is deferential. He is a pass-first point guard. He is a traditional point guard in that sense. And I'm not I don't blame him for that because that's who he's always been. This isn't a different Kyle Lowry in Miami than he was in Toronto. The difference between Kyle Lowry now versus the one in Toronto is that, you know, the shot-making has not been where it is.
Yeah.
You want him to make more of those open catch-and-shoot attempts. And like you said, early in the game, it's like, okay, you're getting this catch-and-shoot off of a Tyler Hero drive, why are you not taking that? And instead you're swinging it to Victor Oladipo, who's like a career 34-35% three-point shooter. Yeah. You're a great three-point shooter. You should be taking this shot, and he didn't. And so in those instances, yes. So I think part of it is not by design, but just sort of by evolution of where this team has gone. The Bam Adebayo-Tyler Hero pick-and-roll outside of tonight has been among the most efficient pick-and-roll combinations in the NBA, and the Heat recognize this, and they're leaning their offense more towards it. I've said this a lot of times, and I'll say it again. The offense that Kyle Lowry signed with is a different offense that he's playing in now. Mm-hmm. And so the offense now is Bam and Tyler, and it should be because it's so efficient. And it's Jimmy Butler playing off of that, sort of not coasting through the regular season, but you can kind of get the sense that he's saving it for the playoffs as he always does.
Yeah.
And Lowry, you're kind of getting more of the sense that he's kind of trying to figure out where he fits into it. He's still pass first, but now the passes are coming to him second. And so where does he fit into that? Tonight, he was like, you know what? Nobody's passing the ball. The Kyle or the Hero Bam pick and roll is dead. It's not working. They're walling off Bam. They're denying the entry passes, all these things. They're trapping Tyler Hero. They're forcing Tyler – credit to Tyler Hero, who we'll get to in a second here too, but they're forcing Tyler Hero to get to that second level of our defense. Kyle Lowry saw all that. He's like, you know what? I think I need to just go out and score some points. And then he did. And that's a surprising thing. It's like, you could do this? And then he – 9 straight points is hard against a good defense like New Orleans. So I think we got to give him 4 beignets.
I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair.
Let's go on out of Tyler Hero. We're going to go ahead and give him 3. I mentioned getting to that second level of the defense. Tyler Hero tonight, 4 of 10 from 3-point range. I think he missed 7 of his first 8, if I have that right. I don't know if the math adds up. Something like that. He missed a bunch of his first ones. Scored 26 points, which was a game high. He's figuring it out, man. Like, he's just... okay, the three ball's not going in the way that I want it to go in for most of the game. Let me get to my little floater. Let me get to those 2-point shots. New Orleans, every defense has to give up something. You can't take everything away. New Orleans, like most defenses, they're going to wall off the paint. They're going to force you into that long mid-range area. And Tyler Hero was like, all right, I'll just make those instead. And then he did.
Yeah, no, I made the point before. Just the aggression from him, just willing to take that shot because there wasn't much left. He was actually 2 of 3 in the fourth quarter, so big shots from him. And then he was just 2 of 7 the rest of the way as far as the three-point shooting is concerned. But an aggressive night, 22 field goals.
I mean,
that's you know, we've seen that from Tyler before, so it's not that shocking. But
10 more than anybody else on the team.
Yes. That's the problem. That's the not the problem. That's the strange statistic here. Like, nobody else could get to their shot as easily. This is where it's so great to have somebody like Tyler,
yes,
who is an incredible bucket getter, a three-level shooter, etc. He recognized a mismatch. Going at it a little bit with CJ McCollum, there seems to be something between those two where they want to attack one another.
There's a friendly rivalry between
those two. I would say that too.
Yeah. Yeah. CJ McCollum is actually one of the players that Tyler Hero studies quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably even a relationship there. I don't know that they're super close, but I think they're, when you see, okay, you're a bucket getter, I'm a bucket getter, let's do this. I'm glad you spun that as a positive because it is on a night where you just literally had a hard time getting into your offense, just getting a shot because of how many turnovers. The fact that he took 22 shots, I really don't even care how many he made.
Yeah.
The fact that he got off 22 shot attempts is just impressive by itself. you add the fact that he was the scoring leader for the night at 26 points is even better. Jimmy Butler, we already covered the 11 points in the third quarter that he had. Got to the line 10 times, 4 assists, 5 steals, 18 points overall. Not the best Jimmy Butler game, but he got 18 points on 7 field goal attempts, sort of the opposite of what Tyler Hero did. But he gets 2 beignets, I think, also because of what he was able to do defensively.
I know a lot of Heat fans are concerned because he's been so passive, and I think that's just been the standard for him this season. He's had big moments. He had that big game against the Atlanta Hawks, although they wind up coming up short. I don't think there's any concern from the Heat coaching staff or front office in terms of what Jimmy can do when it matters most. I just don't know that he's going to be so interested. And I know that's a tough pill for everybody to swallow. I just don't think he can muster the kind of energy to say, you know what, I have to bring it every night. And we've seen other players like Tyler, Bam, etc., thrive as a result. Let them get their opportunities during the regular season, because we know that once the playoffs start, that Jimmy is him. He is that type of player who can turn it on a notch.
We're going to give 1 beignet to Bam Adebayo. That's fair. 18 points on 7 of 12 shooting. Took the second most attempts tonight was Bam Adebayo. 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and just good defense from front to back. Jonas Valanciunas only 14 points on 14 shots, 16 rebounds for Jonas, but only 3 offensive rebounds, which is really where he kills you. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really kill them tonight. The same amount of offensive rebounds that Bam had, by the way, which is important. And so I thought just overall Bam from start to finish was the best defender that the Heat had. Just the steals and all that kind of stuff is great from Jimmy and Vic and Kyle, but like just manning your position and just going toe-to-toe with your guy, Bam did the best job. Jonas Valanciunas was not a factor tonight for New Orleans. He's been a factor for the most part all season for them. So I think 1 goes to Bam. And then a shout-out. We have no beignets left, but a shout-out to Victor Oladipo, 11 points off the bench.
Yeah, and, good point 3 steals. Man, I want a couple things on him. The fact that he only had 2 assists when he's been the hub of their offense, I think kind of shows how effective New Orleans was in just creating that wall that you hinted at, the fact that they were denying him the ball, just bogging up Miami's typical offense, or the version of Miami's offense that we've seen over the last month or so, where it's been going through Bam more and more. Second point, I think he may have hurt his hand again. I saw him at one point on a goaltend, I think. He wound up blocking. He was called a goaltend, I want to say, on Dyson Daniels. He swatted the shot, and then he was kind of clutching his hand. I wonder if we'll see something. He's got the tape on his hand. He's had it ever since he injured it earlier this season. I wonder if he might be, if he might be continuing to hurt a little bit, and maybe he'll miss some time. I don't know. This is just me supposing this at this point.
No, it's a worthwhile observation, something to keep an eye on. All right. Late game, though, going back to the sloppiness, the Heat just could not get an inbound play in. A lot of weird inbound stuff happening at the end here. Is this something that we need to worry about with the Miami Heat going forward? We're going to talk about that next, David. But first, tell the listeners about our new sponsor.
Ah, that's right. A new sponsor we're excited about. That's FanDuel. Really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sportsbook in America. That's right. That's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better, because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers can join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. I guess there's probably some bets on the Bills Bengals game from this weekend. Did you place a wager on that one, Mike?
I did not.
Ah, well,
I should have.
Yeah, probably should have. Nice weather over in Buffalo, too. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
You can reach Locked On Heat on Twitter, Instagram. Email us, LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thank you all to whoever sent in questions using that hashtag, AskLOHeat, on Twitter. Let's get to this one from Jordan, who writes in. What are your thoughts on the late game inbounding? It seems like they're always running the same play when they throw it up to Jimmy, and I hate it. This is actually something that we were talking about in the press conference room after the game. It's just, it feels like all the time the Miami Heat are having a problem inbounding the ball. And late in the game, after the Pelicans actually had their own problem inbounding the ball, Dyson right. Daniels getting called for the 5-second violation. Not really sure if you're the Pelicans. Why. I like Dyson Daniels a lot as a rookie, but why you would have a rookie inbounding the ball late in the game in the fourth quarter like that? That was a little strange by Willie Green there. But for the Heat, after that 5-second violation, they were able to inbound the ball, had a chance to inbound the ball, and Kyle Lowry had to take two timeouts before they were able to get the ball in. And to Jordan's point here, every time they end up getting the ball in, it just sort of feels like, okay, nobody's getting separation. Just throw it up to Jimmy Butler, best wide receiver in the NBA, and he'll go get it. And for the most part, he gets it, but you're wasting valuable timeouts in those moments too. So are you concerned about Miami's inbounding issues?
I mean, I don't know how often it's really going to be an issue, but at the same time, given the number of clutch games that this year, it feels like it probably might crop up at some point. Now, this was a particularly egregious example of that because they had to take those two timeouts, but it feels like this is probably something that's going to happen again if it hasn't happened already. Off the top of my head, I can't recall another instance where it was just, again, so egregious, but it just feels like this is going to be something else that happens at some point or another. So, you know, Eric Spoelstra was asked about it. He said, we'll work on it. I'm not sure to what extent or how much they'll
He said he's like, maybe we just got to add more options or more plays, more looks. And it's like, you think? Point. Like, that seems like an obvious thing. I don't know. This is
the admission from him that he hasn't changed his inbound play since the Toronto playoff series in 2016. That's not good. That's been 7 years.
But I don't know that that's totally true because it looked different last year. Like, they used to have that. They would go wide, and like Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler or people, they would sort of cross and then sort
Who's
of
bringing the ball in?
Other.
Was it Duncan last year? I think
Duncan did it quite a bit. Kyle Lowry did it quite a bit last year too. I think I recall even PJ Tucker doing it a couple times. Yeah. But you know, they don't when you have Kyle Lowry inbounding it the way they do now, and Kyle Lowry is one of the best passers in the NBA, has been for a decade now. But when you have a smaller guy inbounding like that, it does limit your options. So I do wonder if maybe, but the problem is the Heat don't really have great athletes either on the court outside in front of the inbounder who can create that separation, right? Like Jimmy Butler's a great athlete in the physical sense, but he's more. I'm trying to think of like a big hulking wide receiver that kind of ran like a 4.6. He's not like Tyreek Hill out there. He's more of like a go get the jump ball kind of. He's almost like a tight end, more like he's like an Antonio Gates more than he is like a Tyreek Hill. Tyler Hero is very skilled, but he's not like blazing speed, like creating separation. Yeah. There's nobody on the court really who does that for you. And so if you're the Heat,
Caleb seems like a pretty good option, but
you're not going to inbound Caleb, in there. And he's not really for when you're going offense. Like he'll swap out like Spo, he'll swap out Tyler and Caleb offense defense. So when you have Tyler in there, so I don't know. There's to Spo's point, you should probably incorporate some different wrinkles, some different looks in there. Look, there's sideline out of bounds plays aplenty across the NBA. It's one of the most stolen at. If you have a good sideline out of bounds play, guarantee you it'll get stolen tomorrow. So if Spo really wants to, he can have one of his scouts or assistant coaches just scan some of the best coaches in the league who are known for some of the slob plays and just say, you know what? Go find their one or two best ones and let's just incorporate them in the playbook. The problem is that the Heat need to practice in order to incorporate those in the playbook, and they don't do that, including tomorrow. They're not practicing tomorrow. So
are you concerned about it?
Yeah, I am. Look, there are bigger issues with the Miami Heat, just like what I said before, like the lack of athleticism, the lack of shooting that's again, huge. 8 for 34 from three-point range. All these things are bigger issues. But if you're a team that wants to go far, and you make a very good point, like if you're going to play this many clutch games, then, you
better
can't be wasting these timeouts because those timeouts are a chance for you to – if the other team scores, you get the ball back. Now you can advance the ball. Like these are really important things. They're little things, but they're the little things that can – mean the difference between a win and a loss.
This team is not good enough to allow those kinds of mistakes to crop up regularly. The narrow margin for success with a group like this is where they need to win around the edges, you know, along the fringes of a basketball game on 48 minutes of play there. So they need to improve this, I think.
Last one, Jessek writes in, can they fix their three-pointers? It looks so bad.
No, they can't. I don't know what it is at this point. We've talked about Kyle being particularly problematic and from the three-point line. Tyler didn't hit the shot today. Gabe didn't hit it. Victor Oladipo, he's not doing it either. Like, it was just a bad shooting night. Again, maybe it was just the fact that it was an afternoon game. Nobody had that kind of comfortable rhythm that you normally might have over the course of the game. But it's just been a problem all season, and I don't know that there's any solution. The return of Duncan Robinson might help, but that's not necessarily a guarantee either.
And that's not going to lift the entire team. No, it's just a team that doesn't have a lot of great three-point shooters on it. Yeah. Max Strus.
Oh, that was
1 of 4 tonight. Seemed a little hesitant to shoot. Like, he would get open looks and then put the ball down and drive it in traffic.
Not hesitant enough. 0-for-5. Like, he was just really, really ugly night for him.
Yeah, I guess he only took one two-pointer, but there was just times where he just, I don't know. He doesn't look as comfortable shooting the three anymore. And maybe it was just a one-game thing. Maybe to your point, weird start time, didn't get his nap in the afternoon. I don't know. But overall, I have a theory, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it's a theory. I'm going to just throw it out there before we finish this thing up.
All right.
The fact that Miami, what is the scouting report on the Heat? Limit the paint touches. Keep them away from the basket. If you do that, you're going to force them into those mid-range shots. You're gonna run them off the three-point line, all that kind of stuff. Just take the paint away from Jimmy and from Bam. Right. And so when you're building that wall in front of the rim, you're limiting not only those opportunities to score at the rim, but the dribble penetration, the level with which you get into the defense, right? How deep you get into that defense, which is, you know, obviously collapsing the paint, but then if you kick out to shooters, then the closeout for the defense becomes that much more difficult, right? And that turns what could be a contested jumper into an open jumper. I'm wondering if Miami, because they're so reliant and so kind of willing to settle into those mid-range shots at this point, that, you know, if you're only getting, you know, 5 feet into the defense versus under the basket, and you're kicking out, those closeouts just aren't as difficult. They're not as long. The defense doesn't have to travel so much space, as opposed to when you get into the basket, right, like a Giannis who kicks out and creates so many threes for the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's easier for the opponents to close out on those 3-point shots.
Yeah, and so I don't know if there's any truth to it. I'm just sort of spitballing here, but maybe there's something to it. As the Heat lean more and more into that mid-range game, is that almost at a cost to the 3-point looks? It shouldn't be at the cost of this. Like, you should, if your good 3-pointers are shooting 0-for-4, 1-for-5 every single night, which they basically have been all season, that's still going to be a problem. So, all right, that'll do it for us today. The Heat get the win. Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on YouTube, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. For your next listen, check out Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.